Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's over. They've done it. The Royals are World Series champions. The world champion Kansas City Royals.
Great audio there. What did you say, 9 years ago today?
Royals won the World Series.
Okay, you know what's really weird about that? You know who the catcher was?
Yes, Drew Butera.
Sal wasn't in the game.
Yeah, that's right.
How about that? They pinch ran for him.
That's right. Butera catches it, and I think still had the ball up until like 3 weeks ago or something
Drew
like that.
Did?
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. Yeah, finally gave it back to the organization, I think. Yeah, yeah, he had it for a little bit, and now it's, you know, I think Kurt Nelson went and raided his house and stole it and put it in the Hall of Fame.
You know what I got? One of my prized possessions. We were playing the last game ever at Metropolitan Stadium
in
Minnesota. No. Oh. I broke one there one time, though, out of frustration. And the guy, last guy up, hit a pop-up to UL Washington. And I was playing third base.
Mm-hmm.
And the season's over, last game. I forget what year it was. And I walked over and I said, give me the ball. I got the last out in Minnesota at, I think it was Metropolitan Stadium.
That's cool.
Yeah, I got it.
That's awesome.
And I've said this before on the air. And you would think somebody from Minnesota would call. I would gladly give it to the organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the last pitch ever thrown at Metropolitan Stadium.
Right.
Yeah, give me a T-shirt. Give me a Minnesota Twins T-shirt, and you can have the ball.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you want. Tell Henry.
Yeah.
Get Henry Lake on that. He'll get that ball from the T-shirt for you.
Guarantee you. NFL music, as we get into the script here, Nathan, Bob, myself, we do this every week. We do the script. It's sponsored by Foaling.
That's right.
Get your Foal on. Go there Friday.
Yeah, you can check them out at foalingkc.com. Book your holiday parties. Get your foal on. Have you foaled before, George? You need to get down there and foal.
I don't know what it is.
With a football. You're throwing a football at bowling pins. It's so much fun. 435 in State Line. You would absolutely love it.
I got to figure out where this is. 435.
Across the street from Jasper's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right where the Ace Hardware used to be. Yeah.
Okay, you go down that way.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Get out there and foal around and have some fun.
Have you ever done that, Dylan?
Yeah, got a foal.
You roll it?
No, you throw it.
Oh, you throw it. You're throwing
the football.
I can't throw.
You throw it underhand, actually. That's how you have more accuracy. I'm not kidding. The long snappers in the NFL are the best. I was told one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL, not Patrick Mahomes, was so bad at foaling, the long snapper got up there, knocked every pin down, was pinpointing everything, and was, like, unbelievable with it.
What night do they do this?
Every night. It's open. It's you know.
That's all they do. It's open for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great bar.
Is it like the pickleball craze?
Kind of, yeah.
Similar family. Cousin of pickleball.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Actually, what happened, the great story behind this is I met the owner of this place, right, 2 years ago, about a year ago now. And he was telling me how he invented this. And have you been to the Indianapolis 500?
No.
Have you been to the Indianapolis 500?
No.
Anybody been to the Indy 500? Apparently, you got to get there like days before to stake out your spot, right?
I believe it.
And so they're there on like Tuesday in the races until next Monday or whatever. So it's a long stretch. They're just sitting out there drinking. And they're trying to figure out, well, how do we pass time? So somebody just set up bowling pins and they just started throwing footballs at them. They're like, ooh, this could be a game. Now they've got locations nationwide. They're millionaires.
Get out of here.
It's outstanding.
It's like beer pong with a football and bowling pins.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Buying the script this weekend, since the Chiefs don't play until Monday, we'll do a script on Monday as well. But this is my Sunday script. I don't know how accurate I'll be, but I think the Browns show some fight against the Chargers, but eventually blow up. Jameis Winston is erratic at quarterback. I think Herbert continues to look the part with Ladd McConkey. They have something brewing there. They give the media something to talk about as they continue their relationship on the field. Expect a little bit of like... what's his face? Stafford and Cooper Kupp. I see that relationship between McConkey and Herbert. Also, I think Baltimore blows out the Broncos. I think the Broncos are a fun story. I think Bo Nix is great. But I think Baltimore, coming off a heartbreaking loss to their division rival, I think they blow Denver out. They're 9-point favorites in this game. I think Baltimore blows them out. I think Flacco throws 3 touchdowns, and the Colts actually do have a real quarterback controversy. Flacco once again comes into a team that needs a little bit of a spark. He did it last year with the Browns, almost got them the one seed and got them into the playoffs. Look for that to continue. And then I think we have a nice little matinee at 3 o'clock. Little
the abortion ban.
What?
I guess we're gonna have an abortion ban in the script.
We need the ad free YouTube. I don't know what's going on over here.
That's okay. But no, that's not in the script. But I do think what's in the script on Sunday, the finale, I think Cardinals and Bears is going to be a show.
Yeah.
It's Kyler Murray versus Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams and the Bears, obviously the game last week, the Hail Mary. Kyler Murray has been very, very good this year. For people that hate on Kyler Murray, this is a game with two quarterbacks that I could see just putting on a show at 3 o'clock as the Bears face the Cardinals at 3:05.
All right, for me, what's in the script this weekend? This is the last weekend I feel like you can really say the teams are still alive, right? The Jets were 2-6 last night. Yeah, they're still alive, still alive, still alive. Now they're 3-6. Everybody's buying the Jets. And many teams, what is going on behind me right now?
Better be careful with their nettles. Did you flush the toilet?
I did flush the toilet, yes. So this is the last weekend that teams are going to be kind of alive. And I think many teams that lose this weekend, the internets are going to say, all right, you're eliminated and whatnot. But it's also going to open a few more teams to start selling as well, because the trade deadline, Tuesday's a big day. Trade deadline. Start to root for some teams to lose, right? Mm-hmm. Dallas fighting for survival. They'll find a way to win at Atlanta because that's good for business. Dallas winning is good for business. And so I think they're going to beat Atlanta this weekend. Lamar hasn't practiced all week. Will be a game time decision. He'll play. Denver's defense will hold the Ravens to under 24, but Bo Nix won't be able to score enough, and Denver will lose a close one to Baltimore in the witching hour.
Ooh.
Miami basically playing for the rest of the AFC East on Sunday. A loss by them to Buffalo. That division is officially over, but the Dolphins find a way to rally and beat the Bills. Tyreek Hill actually shows up, has a decent game on a last-minute score. Green Bay v. Detroit, game of the weekend, right? I think that's the game of the weekend for me. Best regular season game of the year, potentially, on this one. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Packers win this thing 45-44 with a last-second field goal, and then everybody starts questioning the Lions. Games in Green Bay, that's why the Packers get the win in that one. What do you got, Nathan?
So, Bob, you've got teams getting eliminated this weekend. I've got teams gumming up the playoff picture and coming back to the pack a little bit. I'm looking at three teams that currently have three wins. I'm looking at Dallas at Atlanta. I'm looking at the Bengals taking on the Raiders and the Rams, who have the Seahawks this weekend. The Jets have already won this weekend. As you mentioned, the Dolphins have a chance to get back in the race. I'm looking at a few teams, maybe not salvaging their season, but like prolonging it, keeping it alive for the future. And then I'm with you. Lions and Packers is the game of the weekend. It's an NFC Championship game preview. Give me the Lions this weekend and the Packers in January.
In January in the championship game. What's in it for you this weekend? No Chiefs.
The Chiefs win.
You were on.
You're good.
Oh, the Chiefs win.
I don't think they lose a game this year. I think they're running the table.
They're definitely not losing Sunday.
Yeah.
No. Chiefs win. I couldn't tell you any other team. The only teams I follow Sporting Kansas City. I follow the Current. I follow the Chiefs and the Royals and those that I know anything about.
Or care about, right?
Or
you sound
care
a lot
about.
Like me
KU,
these days.
MU, K-State. I like all them because I live here. And I didn't grow up here, so I can like the Tigers, and I can also like the Jayhawks, and I can also like the Wildcats.
Yeah.
You're also if you George grow up here Brett, and you go like to KU, you got to hate the other teams.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I can pull for all of them.
Yeah.
I can pull for all of them. I do have a soft spot in my heart for KU because my son Dylan went there, my wife went there. So KU kind of, if KU ever plays K-State, I want KU to win.
Sure, yeah.
If KU ever plays Missouri, which they don't very often, I want KU to win. I've become good friends with Bill Self and the football coach there, Leipold. I've become good friends with him. So KU is my college team.
KU is your team. Yeah, as it should be. Your money
and
went
Old
to
Miss,
KU.
I have my youngest son went to Old Miss, and I love the
what
term.
What was that
hottie
like?
Toddy.
Yeah.
I love that. I used to love going down to the Grove and tailgating and hanging out in the square and in fact, a friend of mine, Bob Blacketer's daughter, goes to East, and she just got accepted into Old Miss. She's going to go to SMU, though, because her brother goes to SMU. And I told her when she was a little kid, I said, if you go to Old Miss, I'll pay your tuition. And thank God Bob doesn't need help paying tuitions.
If my kid goes to Ole Miss, will you pay their tuition?
Well, it is a pretty special place.
Is it? Yeah. The hottie-totty thing.
It is really a neat place to go. It is just, an atmosphere that I've never been to any other SEC stadium, but I've been to Ole Miss and it's crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. First time I went, there was four guys sitting behind us. They bought in a bottle of Jack Daniels or whatever, snuck that in. They kept getting going up and buying Cokes. And they're all dressed up and they're probably 45 years old. And they got red ties on and I'm going, guy recognized me and he says, what are you doing here? And I said, my youngest son's thinking about going here. I said, you guys go here? And they go, no. This is a bucket list. I said, what do you mean bucket list? Well, we go to one game every year and we chose here. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in a red tie. And I'm going, well, where are you from? He said, Omaha, Nebraska. We're Nebraska. We're Cornhuskers. Cornhuskers. Yeah. And the guy, I looked closely, had an N on his tie. But that was their game of their game that they were going to that week. And afterwards, they were going, this is one of the best places I've ever watched a game. It didn't hurt matters that they played LSU that night and beat LSU.
Oh, that's awesome.
Beat LSU. Uh-huh. And that was when they tore the goalpost down and they found them 20 blocks from the stadium, you know. But it's a special place. For those that have never been, you got to do it. Yeah. Put it on your bucket list.
That there sounds awesome.
George Brett, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty at 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Kansas City Sports. Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on a Friday. Sun finally up. Love that. November 1st, the most disrespected month of the entire calendar year.
I agree with you. I never even thought about months being disrespected until you threw that at me last night. I'm like, Dusty's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's disrespected. I love a November. It's nice and crisp. You can have the windows open, the pumpkin spice smell in your house. You can drink he was mentioning hot toddies. Now I want a hot toddy when I go home.
Get a little hottie toddy, apple cider
bourbon
and some
season.
Fireball.
Oh,
yeah. You don't go to a Chiefs game unless you had Fireball. I tell you that.
You mess around with Fireball, George?
No.
Okay.
No.
Me neither, dude.
No.
Me neither. I mean, the label is a flaming demon for a reason.
Wow.
Like, I'm not sure I want to get into that.
Tastes really good.
The first time, you don't remember the next.
No, you don't. That's true. That's why you just do one and you move on about your day, right?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Bourbon season for sure. November is just disrespecting.
It is. It's a good month. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to bring November back. But no, we always do this. We'll do this real quick, and then we'll get into some banter here. But we always do our cover, too, the two games we're covering this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
No Chiefs, no Royals. So George doesn't care about what we cover because it's not local teams, which is fine.
It's fine.
You know? But I mean,
well, who's KU playing and who's MU playing?
KU's got to buy this week.
Oh, they got to buy, too?
They do.
And what about Kansas State?
I don't know who Kansas State is.
We'll get it for you here.
Yeah.
The text line's going to hate me for it. K-State at Houston. They're favored by 13.5.
Okay, I would pick that one.
Okay. So you'll take K-State to cover the 13.5?
Yeah.
Nice. Love that. And then your other cover, too, would be in the SEC. Mizzou has a down game this week, I believe.
Is this one of the weeks where they play like East Tonale State or somebody like that?
No, they just don't play this
Arkansas?
Week.
They're playing Arkansas. Missouri, Arkansas?
No, that's Ole Miss, Arkansas.
Yeah,
they play Arkansas.
That'd be a good game.
Missouri always plays Arkansas the day after Thanksgiving.
Right.
I believe it's like a Friday game. Black Friday game. But yeah, no Mizzou this week.
So no Mizzou, no KU this week.
No Mizzou, no KU. Missouri is back next week at home against Oklahoma.
Ooh, that's
that game
a good
is
game.
To be announced. So it's haven't got a time yet. That was the first game I think that sold out in Mizzou's ticket sales this year was the Oklahoma game at Columbia.
Cool.
So that game will go on. But my cover two is Bears Cardinals. Obviously, we talked about this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback play. Two of the top receivers in the future of the NFL will play in this game. Marvin Harrison Jr. already arrived. Roma Dunze.
Love that guy.
Right? He's got his quarterback. Harrison's got his quarterback. They're young. They're the future of the NFL. This game of the receiving core, this game has a lot on it. You know, are the Bears, are they for real? Mm-hmm. Is Arizona for real? We'll find out in this cover two of that. And then Packers, Detroit. Can Detroit continue to do it? Can they put up 40 spots on teams? Can they continue to be, you know, riding the coattails of Jared Goff in his MVP type season? Three golfers here, one golfer.
Yeah, I'm a golfer
there.
Yeah.
So that's okay. But I like to see this game, Detroit versus Green Bay. That's like you say, no dog in the fight. I don't care who wins. I really don't.
Right.
Because both these teams are going to be in the playoffs. Both these teams have MVP candidates at quarterback. Both these teams have very good coaches. They're going to be around for a while in the NFC North. I don't care who wins. That's why I love Sundays when the Chiefs don't play, because I can have my Coors Lights, sit in my recliner, and just wish I had a urinal because I wouldn't move.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. You like that kid, don't
good
you?
Good life.
Yeah.
The way you put that, that's a good life.
Yeah.
Do we just become best friends?
Yeah.
Favorite dinosaur on 3, 2, 1. Yeah. Go ahead, Bob.
For me, Baltimore versus Denver. I think Baltimore wins the game, but I think it's going to be interesting to see what Denver's all about. How much have you really spent watching the Broncos this year? Anybody? Bueller? anybody? No. But he's watching the Broncos, right? So I want to see what they're all about. They're sitting at 5-3. I like Bo Nix, but I'm interested to see kind of a full game of Denver this weekend. So I'll be watching that game. They have a little bit of momentum right now. Should be a fun game. And then I'm watching Miami versus Buffalo this weekend because Buffalo has a chance to end Miami's season, right? Miami has a chance to kind of get back in this thing. Dolphins are desperate. Tyreek Hill is desperate. He's waiting to go off. I think Miami wins this game, and I think Buffalo comes back to the pack, and then the Chiefs open up this gigantic three-game lead over everybody and their brother now in the AFC.
Where's the Denver game at?
It's in Baltimore.
In where?
In Baltimore.
In Baltimore. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. From the text line, tell George hello from the pro staff at Oakwood Country Club. We are listening from the pro shop.
Hey.
There you go. So they're on. Nathan, you're covered too for this weekend. Then we can get into more stories.
Sure, yeah. First up, I'll keep it quick. Give me the Chargers and the Browns. How can you not feel a little bit of rejuvenation with the quarterback change? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying that Baltimore was great last week, but there was some sort of life to that Browns team. And the Chargers are still weak up front, guys. So I'm looking at the Chargers offensive line, especially the interior, against the D-line of the Browns. And then second, it's pretty simple. The Commanders should not have won that game last week. They didn't play well enough to win. Thanks to the gentleman that was more concerned with the fans than the play on the field. Avoid a letdown against the Giants in your division. If you do, you're going to be 7-2. The Commanders will be 7-2, guys.
That's right.
With a win this week.
That's wild when you say that's the say it out loud test. Commander 7-2.
Which means the coach of the year is wrapped up and the rookie of the year is wrapped up.
I would imagine.
Is probably already wrapped up.
Yeah. Jay Daniels get that. Andy Reid's got to be coach of the year, though, man.
He goes undefeated.
I mean, Andy Reid's got to be coach of the year. That guy gets no respect for a guy who wins. He's like the Rodney Dangerfield of coaching, isn't he?
He gets all the respect.
You think? He's never won coach of the year.
He's won it once.
Has he won it once? Did he win it one time?
He won it in 2007.
I got some money on this one.
You guys are saying you're heavily biased here.
I get a nice payout if he wins Coach of the Year.
Okay, let me ask you guys a stupid question. Who wins Manager of the Year in Major League Baseball?
Should be Cotrero.
I agree 100%.
You go from 56 to 86 in a year, and you make the playoffs.
It's got to be.
It has to be, right?
And you go Executive of the Year.
JJ.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to be.
I mean, and this is going to be me biased. I love baseball. I've watched my whole life. I grew up in the city, so, I mean, I've been here, and I'm going to sound like a homer, but I don't care. You go from 56 games and improve it by almost 30. That should be the immediate green flag on the wall. Not only that, you look at what they did when they got injured with Vinny Pasquantino. They went and revamped their roster. They went and got Lucas Irsic, who became a closer, who became that stud in the ninth inning. And then not only that, you weren't just a flash in the pan. You won your wild card series against the Baltimore Orioles, who were the team for most of the year.
Yep.
And then you fought out with the Yankees. I know
The Yankees were happy.
I
saw Aaron Boone after the last game.
Yeah.
I was going down to the Crown Club to get a Coors Light, and he was coming from the media room, you know, and I've known Aaron since he was a little kid. I've known the Boone family, you know, forever because I played against Bob, and then Bob managed the Royals. And he said, man, I'm so happy to get out of here with a win. I mean,
the Royals are good. I thought they matched up really well with the Yankees, you know?
Well, if we wouldn't have walked 15 guys those first two games or the two losses that we had them.
Yeah.
We had them. And we hit some balls hard right at them. They hit some balls not hard that were hits, and they created runs, you know,
right?
The greatest thing I thought about that series of the Yankees is that, and we had a topic about this because my dad grew up, you know, watching you guys in the 70s and Patek running to the fountains when they finally beat them and celebrating. And like, there was a couple of generations that kind of forgot that, right? Because when the Royals were doing their thing in 13, 14, 15, and 60, the Yankees were
terrible,
right? They weren't that great. Then the Yankees kind of hit this spark when the Royals were kind of down. And we got to see that little scuffle between Volpe and to give you credit, Michael Garcia has way bigger stones than I have because I'd have punched somebody. Like in the heat of the moment, everything's not going your way. Someone's shoving you close to your neck. Good for Michael because that guy didn't throw a punch. I could have sworn that's me and I can't fight. I can't hit myself at a wet paper sack, but I'd have done something. But that rivalry kind of feels like here we go again with the Yankees again. And I'm sure that, you know, you were there. You're watching like, kick his ass.
I was, believe me.
So
believe
I love me, that I was.
And then
happened.
We had Zerpa pitching, and they had Zerpa was pitching, and Chisholm came up.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going, you got to drill this guy. Soto was coming up because Soto started chirping too.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
He was chirping at Zerpa.
That's
right. So Zerpa was still pitching, and he throws 99 miles an hour, you know. And God, I love that guy. He's got cojones, man. This guy nothing bothers him. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, God, I hope he does. Yeah, I hope he does a fly by the tower right now.
Right, buzz it, right?
Yeah, just buzz the tee. He never did. Every pitch was a slider down and away. I'm going, oh, God, come on, buzz him. Just not. Don't hit him. Just flip him.
Yeah.
You got to flip him. You got to do a Dickie Knowles, you know, and just throw one right at his head. The guy will go down, and then, you know, everybody will kind of get antsy and get all fired up. And then when Chisholm came up, I said, oh, my God, you got to drill this guy or buzz the tower.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, nowadays, back then,
Ventura would have done
it. Baseball. Ventura would have done it in a heartbeat. But you didn't even need a reason to buzz the tower with him pitching. Yeah. He would just do it to do it, you know. But back in the day, that was part of the game. It's not part of the game anymore.
Shouldn't be.
You get kicked out, you get suspended, you get fined and all that stuff. And, you know, back when we were playing, let's say you're making $200,000 a year, you get suspended for two games. The team would always pay your fine. Now you're making $20 million a year, you get suspended for a week, no pay. Players aren't going to do that. They're not going to lose that money.
Right, yeah.
And so that's where the game's kind of gone soft a little bit. You can't slide in hard. You can't break up a double play. You can't run over catchers if they're blocking the plate. And that used to cause a lot of problems.
Sure.
Used to cause a lot of problems. Now the game is played too generously, you know, people are too nice to one another.
Well, I do like the pitch clock, though.
I think that's the greatest invention of all time.
Great. I'm with you. It's the greatest sports invention
advantage,
we've ever seen.
Advantage hitter or batter in that situation?
It doesn't matter.
Really?
I don't think it matters.
Okay.
Some people are saying now people's arms are getting hurt because they throw it. That's bull.
Yeah.
That's bull. I agree. I'm not into that.
Yeah, no, I think the pitch clock has been the greatest thing we've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes games move fast. You can enjoy them. It's not like a minute and a half between every pitch and all this stuff. It's great, man.
I heard Colin Cowherd yesterday say baseball is in a renaissance. The numbers are up. Viewership is up.
Highest ranked World Series since 17.
Well, you got the Dodgers and the Yankees for crying out loud.
And that's what I told Bob.
Last year was the worst. It was the Rangers and the Diamondbacks.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. But I mean, in season, though, numbers are up. More games are being watched. Games are quicker. People are enjoying the speed of the game. They're not going to be like, oh, God, this is a 5-hour process. If it goes into extra innings, it could go another 7 innings. Ghost runner on second, pitch clock.
I even like that.
I do too. I love that.
I love it.
Yeah, and I love the rule that it has to be the guy that got the last out. So you can't strategically put, you know, Blanco on second every time. You have to put, you know, sometimes it might be Vinny. Sometimes it might be Bobby.
Right.
Yeah.
But I guarantee if it was Vinny or if it was Sal, you'd see Blanco out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially if they didn't score in the top of the 10th.
Yeah.
Now, in the top of the – if we were the top of the 10th, you might not. You know, but the bottom of the 10th, if you only need one run, you're going to see Blanco or Terrence Gore every freaking chance you get.
So, interesting question for you, because I sit back and I watch Bobby Witt Jr., and I think I have the same reaction to him that probably a lot of people my dad's age had for you, right? Like, you come to Kansas City, not really known for a ton of athletes that actually do well and have great careers. And Bobby Witt Jr. comes to town, and now you have kids dressed up as Bobby Witt Jr. You have people wearing the number 7. You have an MVP very close in his grasp this year. Could be one next year. Bob's already going to, as soon as it's available, Bob's putting money on it. What's your perspective of Bobby Witt Jr.?
Probably the best talent that we've had in Kansas City since Carlos Beltran. You remember him in as a rookie? I think he was rookie of the year. And back then, the team was owned by the trust, and they got rid of him because, you know, he was going to have to sign to a contract, and the Royals weren't going to do that. And as a result, he got traded. But Carlos Beltran, I thought, was the best young player that I have ever seen come into this organization.
Smooth, man.
And Bobby Witt has passed him.
Yeah.
So I think Bobby is the real deal, obviously. I mean, he hit 332, played 150 or 161 games, could have played them all.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't important. He wanted to be healthy for the playoffs. Who knows what's going to happen in game 162, you know? Who knows what's going to happen? He could twist his ankle or, you know, do something crazy and get in a collision going out for a pop-up, center fielder collide with him, and then he doesn't play the playoffs. So he played every game he had to, obviously was the leader of the ball club. He's a once-in-a-lifetime talent that's going to be here. And I hope I've given him some advice. I said, Bobby, if I was you, I'd buy a house in Kansas City and become part of the community. You're going to be here for 20 years.
Mm.
20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of athletes that come in town and the day the season's over, they go back and live in Texas. You don't have to stay in Kansas City year-round. but you can stay here a little bit in the offseason, come back and forth, back and forth. I used to do that, but I always maintained a residence in Kansas City, and I always will maintain a residence in Kansas City. And for the amount of money that they're paying Bobby, he should become part of the community.
Yeah.
And not be afraid to go to the grocery store and not be afraid. Yeah, I go to the grocery store every day. Every day I go, a high five, the bag boys, you know, Mike and Andy, and just have a blast. Mm-hmm. Have a blast talking to people.
Right.
And Bobby's got to go out. I know some friends of mine that never even go to the grocery store. I go every day.
Every
That's
day?
That's the highlight of my day.
Going to the grocery store.
Yeah, I love
every
it.
Day. I love going to the grocery store, too. My wife hates it.
I love to cook, and my wife likes to cook, and she has a flower shop, so she's busy. And so I'll call about 4 o'clock. What do you want for dinner? I'll go to the store and get it.
Every day.
I want to go to the grocery store. I want to go.
That's the same way. I love it.
What's your go-to meal? Like, what if you had to cook? Like, what are you cooking that you know you're going to nail it?
I can do chicken on the grill, steak on the grill, pork chops on the grill. Anything else, Dill? Fish.
Little salmon?
Fish in the Traeger. I do that. Mm. Do that in the Traeger. I got a green egg. I got a Traeger. I got a Hooray. And I got a gas grill.
Okay.
And I'm getting ready to get a pizza oven that my friend says he cooks steaks in it, and it's the best steak he's ever had.
Oh, I never even thought about that, Dusty.
What's George's cut of steak of choice and temperature?
Well, I like rare to medium rare.
Okay.
I like strips, but once in a while, the other night I did fillets.
There you go.
And I do saute onions and mushrooms, and I get some sourdough bread, and I put butter on it, put it on the grill. Get it a little charred, you know, not a lot charred, but just kind of toasted. And then I put the steak on top of that and smother it with onions, mushrooms, and some pepperoncinis.
So that sounds good.
And just smother it. And you remember when back in the day when you would fly and they would give you a steak and it would have a little...
No, no, I got peanuts.
Do you not?
Well, this is back...
$1,000 a year.
This is back in the TWA days. You know?
Oh, God, yes.
TWA.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They I was pocketing peanuts. We would always fly TWA. And after games, they'd give you a little steak and they had a little piece of bread underneath it. And it was kind of toasted a little bit, and all the juice would go in that, and it was so good.
Mm.
So I always do, if I do a steak, I usually do sourdough bread, put a little butter on both sides, put it on the grill, get the lines on it, put the steak on top, and then you sop up all that. It sops up all the gravy and all the juices.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's butter.
Yeah, you're making me hungry
right now. It
is
so good.
Do you have a Blackstone? You didn't say you had
a Blackstone.
Oh, you do? You do
have a Blackstone.
I
got a Blackstone,
I love the Blackstone. Yeah. Dusty, I know you love the Blackstone,
yeah, I
use it all the time.
I haven't used mine that much.
I do smash burgers, Philly cheesesteaks, combination fried rice, and breakfast for the most part. It's pretty solid.
It's awesome, man. You will love that thing. Once you start using that, you're like, all right,
the kids
I don't
all
want
got it for
else.
Me for my birthday last year.
You'll be out there flicking shrimp into people's mouths to drive by.
Don't eat shrimp anymore.
You don't?
Well, it's kind of in the same family as clams and
crab legs.
Crab legs.
So the crab leg experience.
I think I'm allergic to shellfish.
Oh, really?
So I haven't got tested, but I'm like 5 for 5 the last time I ate them.
Oh, really?
So I don't eat them anymore.
You don't eat them anymore.
No more shellfish.
You're hitting 500 on shellfish.
No more shellfish. I just said, hey, my wife said, I think you might be allergic to shellfish.
So after the crab incident in Vegas, done.
I've had shrimp, but every time I get sick.
Really?
I get sick.
Yeah. Oh, man. Somebody else I was talking to said they developed I think it was Alex Gold that developed the shellfish allergy.
All of a sudden,
yeah.
It just hits you. I grew up in L.A. You don't think I grew up on lobster and shrimp and oysters? I grew up out there.
Damn.
Grew up on that stuff.
I love shrimp, man.
And then I think if you have a bad one, it just, your body says, you're not doing this anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You just like swell up or you like throw it up? I know this is weird. But
I throw it up out of the other end, though.
Oh.
You've so never heard the so story could,
so
of Las Vegas?
You could use a urinal when you eat shrimp then.
No. Have you not heard? Have you not heard the story?
No.
Oh.
You want to tell it?
No. I'm done telling it.
I don't know if I want liquid crab stories.
In Las Vegas, he did that and pooped his pants.
Well, what happens in apparently George is letting you know what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Well, I thought it did.
Yeah, no.
I thought it did until it got out.
Yeah, how did it get out, though?
Oh, I was talking to some guy, Scott Walters, a guy in spring training. And
oh, it was when you were following that guy around.
Well, but I was mic'd up that day.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy's 100 yards away, and I'm just talking, and the guy said he had a little accident, pooped his pants, you know, driving home from dinner the night before. And the guy said, you ever done that? I said, oh, my God, have I done that? I'll tell you a story. And I told the whole story, and the guy ends up getting fired from Channel 3 here at the CBS station, I believe. And he went in and got the tape, stole the tape. The guy got fired.
Yeah.
And he put it on YouTube, the whole story.
The whole story, yeah.
And then everybody knew.
Yeah.
So.
And then it became a big thing.
Then they've done parodies of it. People have said that they've heard it on Family Guy.
Really?
Yeah. Family Guy.
Seth MacFarlane.
You're like George Brett, huh?
Oh, my. You know? I feel like it might have been the Butters' fault that's the reason. Okay.
No, there's a guy who does parody songs who did one for you as well about the George Brett Vegas experience.
Right.
Yeah. But you were following this catcher around?
Scott Walters.
Is that who
he was?
He was
a catcher from Loyola University, like a third-round pick, and he was the guy that had the little accident.
Right.
And he asked me the last time I did, because everybody's done it, you know?
Right,
And I told him the story, and the next thing you know, everybody heard about it.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
This is one of the top five greatest baseball players of all time. Oh, the guy that pooped himself in the elevator?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You got to pull that up, though. It's pretty entertaining.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. Like, oh, my God, that's right, that video.
I didn't have that in my Google search engine today, that's for sure.
You will a little bit later on today. Yeah, one of the all-time classics. Hit 390.
Yeah, and 500 on shellfish allergy. I'm talking to Bob Fesco, George Brett. We got Nathan here as well. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan and Fesco and Dusty. It's your home for Kansas City sports.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com